I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And if he could talk, my dog Murphy would say that he does talk, but I can't do the voice on here because it would be too ludicrous. We're talking about dogs at work, and so it gave me a chance to bring Murphy to work. Murphy is almost 13 years old. He's a Wheaton Terrier, and he has had new life since he's been in this place today. He's just got a lot of energy, and he's walking all around and having a heck of a time. He'll be exhausted tonight. But the purpose to bring him and to talk about dogs, and you know how much we all love dogs. Scotty loves dogs. KP loves dogs. I love dogs. We're dog crazy. But there's a lot of information. We know how wonderful dogs are for people who are ill, for students who are learning to read in hospice care. Dogs just perform these miraculous feats. And now there are companies, more and more of them, are allowing employees to take their dogs to the office, and it results in a whole lot less stress. People are more friendly with each other. People who took their dogs to work in an office, and this is where our guest study was done in Greensboro, North Carolina, had lower stress levels throughout the day. Employees who had not brought their dogs to work said their stress levels increased during the workday, and so did non-pet owners. Dogs in the workplace may help buffer work stress. They make the job more satisfying for non-dog owners. And imagine if you love dogs to be working at a place that says you can bring your dog to work. I mean, wouldn't you stay there? For all of you dog lovers, it would be a very good thing. Well, we're going to talk about all of this hour, and Murphy is joining me in the studio. He's tucked in underneath the console here. So if you hear, that's Murph. Sandra Barker is our guest. She is a professor of psychiatry at Virginia Commonwealth University, and she is one of the researchers of this study. She is director of the School of Medicine Center for Human-Animal Connection, and that mission is improved health and well-being through human-animal interaction. She helped establish the Pet Loss Support Hotline at the Veterinary College and provides consultation on the human-animal interaction and companion animal pet loss-related issues to area professionals and community groups. We'll be welcoming phone calls. Maybe you're in a workplace where you can bring your dog to work, or you have occasionally. What do you think of this idea of being able to bring dogs? I'm a particular dog lover, but there are a lot of cat lovers, too, an animal to work during the day, and what it might do for you. Dr. Barker, hello. Thank you so much for being with us and for allowing me to bring my dog to work.
Hello, and it's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon, and I'm glad you have Murphy with you today.
Yeah, it's a real treat for him. And you're a real dog lover, too, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is amazing to me that more and more, as the days and the years go on, we're realizing what it is animals can do for us and what dogs can do for us in particular. This bond is really amazing, and what it can do to us physically to make us feel better is quite extraordinary.
It is indeed. And in our initial research, which was published back in 1988, we looked at how close people were emotionally to their dogs compared to their human family members, and we were a little bit surprised when we used a projective technique, so people really didn't know what we were studying. They were using a drawing and using symbols to represent people and their dogs, and we found that they were as close to their dog as to their closest family member, whether that was a spouse or a child. And in about a third of those individuals, the dog was closer than any human being in their lives emotionally. So it was very powerful. So some of our subsequent studies, and certainly the pet loss work I've done, it's not surprising that people are devastated when their beloved pet dies, and that people want their pets with them during the workday.
Right. Yeah, I'm amazed that you did that study way back in 1988, because we're starting to catch on to that now, but it took a while for us to get there, didn't it?
It certainly did, but the field has been growing. We previously were saying it was in its infancy. We probably now say it's in its adolescence, as we're seeing more studies and more rigorous studies published that are demonstrating some of the health benefits of having pets in our lives, and not just dogs, but cats and other animals as
mm-hmm.
well.
So what is it, Sandy, that makes us feel as close to our dogs as we do to another human being in our family? Why?
Well, Think about mercy, Kathleen.
I will. I think about him all the time.
When you think about all that he symbolizes, I mean, he's non-judgmental, gives unconditional love. He's, you know, there for you. He doesn't care. I mean, they don't care if you take a shower, look like. They're just a non-judgmental, very powerful form of social support for us. For many people, they're not just companions. Majority of people talk about their pets as family members. In fact, probably a lot of your listeners probably give their pets gifts on holidays and special occasions, and many of them are treated like family members, and that's not unusual from the research that we see. But we also know that they give back. They give back that love and that loyalty to owners. For many, they also symbolize other things, such as a sense of security for some people. They enjoy walking the dog, which not only provides them and their dogs with physical exercise, which we know is a good thing, but also gives them a sense of security of having their dogs with them. So there's so many reasons why, and many of them personal issues and reasons as to why we're so close to our dog.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we could learn something about unconditional love and try to be more like our dogs, huh?
Isn't that a good thing to have?
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad thing at all.
No, it would be a tall order, however. Our dogs are wonderful at demonstrating that, and just the simple joys. Rolling in the grass and lying in the sun, and they provide a lot of important values that we should consider.
Right. So tell me about how many more workplaces are starting to allow dogs in the workplace.
Well, we keep seeing more and more media coverage of, particularly each year at that Bring Your Dog to Work Day, of more and more companies that are allowing pets in the workplace. And I think what they're finding is that if you have solid policies in place that protect the welfare of the dog as well as your employees, that it can be a very positive thing and can indeed reduce stress and increase communication and increase employees' perception, positive perceptions about their workplace. I mean, think about what a wonderful benefit it is to be able to bring your dog to work, but again, I think it's important that they have sound policies in place to make sure that employees who are allergic or have fears or are uncomfortable around dogs aren't subjected to that, because that would certainly be stressful.
Yeah, and I know there are some companies that have separate rooms, right, for meeting rooms for those who are okay with dogs, and then if you're not, you go to another kind of meeting room. Also, special programs in case some companies go the extra mile, in case a couple of the dogs don't get along with each other, they go through a course to tap down their tempers.
They can certainly do that, which is always a good thing for training. And then a number of companies will allow dogs in certain cubicles or using. I know when I would bring my dog here, I didn't want to keep the doors closed, but I would have a baby gate, that would put across the doorway. And then for other people, they would keep just a simple crate in their office, because how many people sit in their office or in their cubicle the entire time they're there during the day? So the things that people have to think about is, okay, what happens if I have to go to a meeting or I'm called out? How is the dog kept safe? Now, in a number of places, there's a whole group of non-dog owners who welcome babysitting for those dogs if the employee has to go out. And one thing we saw at replacements was how the dogs being present increased the contact and the communication among employees. I mean, people would go by and ask an employee who had their dog there if they could take the dog out for a walk on their break. So, again, a win-win situation. Rather than perhaps sitting in a break room, here's a person out walking a dog. Mm-hmm. So a number of positives for having them in the workplace, again, with good policies in place.
Another one of your studies looked at the stress level of employees. I think that they were tested 4 times a day using a standardized quiz. What were the results of that, and what did you ask people to determine what their stress levels were?
Well, actually, and this was the study at replacements, we assigned pagers to the individuals in the study, and we had 18 dog owners who brought their dogs to work. We had 38 dog owners who chose not to bring their dogs to work for whatever reason. Maybe they weren't temperament related or appropriate, or maybe they were older or had other issues. And then we had 19 people who did not own pets, either cats or dogs or any other type of pet. And we issued everybody pagers, and we paged them early in the morning, and then mid-morning, early afternoon, and then the end of the day, 4 to 5, before they would leave. And this was for the people who worked full-time on the day shift. And what we found was when we paged them, they were completing a scale of how stressed they felt at that moment. And what we found was that during the course of the day, dog owners, their stress levels went down. And those who left their dogs at home, their stress significantly increased throughout the day. And then those who didn't own a pet, theirs slightly rose throughout the day, so that by the middle of the afternoon, the people who had their dogs there, their stress levels were 50% lower.
50%?
50% lower. Ooh-wee. Than those whose dogs were left at home, and their stress was 36% lower than the non-pet owners. So clearly a benefit in reducing perceived stress for those who had their dogs with them.
Another benefit, I'm sure, to the employers is that the tenure of the employee, if you want your employee to be around longer, the average time, I think, is something like 10 years, if you allow
pets. Amazing.
At
replacement. 10 years, the employees was the average tenure. Some had been there, obviously, much longer than that. So clearly, and when we rated them also on job satisfaction and on perceived organizational support, and they just blew away the norms for these subscales. I mean, these individuals, particularly the dog owners, rated, you know, higher, their organization higher on things like operating procedures and, of course, rewards and benefits. That makes sense. But then it extended to promotion and pay and communication.
Really?
And job satisfaction overall. So clearly a positive thing for the employer.
Absolutely. And should there be some kind of process for a dog to be certified to come to work? Should they have to go through some kind of training course to make sure that they're civil to other dogs and they're incredibly well-behaved? Do most companies do that or not?
I think it varies with the environment. Interestingly, at replacements, I mean, that's a company that repairs china and crystal, and they've had 20 to 30 dogs on the premises on any given day, and they've been coming for close to 20 years, and a dog has never broken a piece of china or crystal.
No.
Now, I'm sure some of the employees have. So, again, it depends upon the environment. Here, I'm in an acute care medical setting, and so we require any dogs coming in to be certified therapy dogs. And so we do need to make sure they've gone through rigorous training and socialization. And the same thing with the owners, that they also are strong advocates for their dogs and are always in tune to what's going on with the dogs. In other settings, people have brought in well-behaved, clean, well-trained dogs that don't have any particular type of registration. So, again, it depends on the setting and what would make sense in terms of that setting to maintain safety of the employees and also the welfare of the dog, because you really do have to think about the stress the dog may be under in a work environment. Some dogs may think it's wonderful and be perfectly calm and happy. Others may be stressed, and so it's really important that employees who want to bring their dogs to work are aware of stress signals and being in tune to their dogs and when they need to go out and when they need a break and when they shouldn't be there at all, any sign of discomfort or illness, and then you want them clean.
Right. The only uncomfortable moments my dog had was in the elevator, and I had to take him out once since we've been here this morning, but he couldn't figure out that elevator at all. He wasn't afraid necessarily, but his ears were perked up as much as they could be, and he made me sense the elevator in a whole different way when it started going up. What in the world is this? What kind of contraption do you have me in, Mom? But it was kind of fun to see him experience things for the first time.
Yes, and then as he becomes acclimated to those elevators, it probably wouldn't bother him at all. But again, another reason people that plan to bring a dog into a workplace need to know their dogs, need to watch them very closely and see what's stressful and what's not stressful.
Yeah. The other thing that you're seeing so much more of, and this must be just for pure happiness reasons, you look at the number of baseball stadiums that are having dog nights or bark nights. You look at the number of swimming pools in different areas that before they close, when they close the pool, they allow all the dogs to come and have a big swim and play with each other. Those kinds of things are happening more and more, and it just makes people happy.
It does make them happy. I mean, here they have, in many instances, their closest companion, closest confidant, and here they're allowed to bring them to places they enjoy. And in most of these, when you go to these ballparks, the dogs are, you know, pretty much they're well-behaved. They're not causing any problems, and they're usually lying down there right by their owners.
Yeah, it's sweet, isn't it?
It is very sweet. It's nice to be able to witness how far we've come, more and more restaurants, you know, allowing outside areas for dogs and just people being more aware of the closeness of that human-animal bond and coming up with ways that they can allow that to flourish.
Yeah. Dr. Sandra Barker is our guest, and no, she did not change her name. That is her name, appropriately enough. She's a professor of psychiatry and chair in human-animal interaction on the medical campus of Virginia Commonwealth University, where she also serves as director of the School of Medicine's Center for Human-Animal Interaction. She helped establish the Pet Loss Support Hotline at the Vet College and provides consultation on the human-animal interaction. We're going to welcome phone calls. Maybe you are. I know there are only about 7% of all workplaces that allow dogs to come in, but maybe you're one of those fortunate places and you can talk about your experience of bringing your dog or perhaps your cat to work. Or you can talk about how you might be able to get your bosses to agree with your doing that. We welcome your phone calls. The number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, where I believe there's a picture of Murphy, who's highly photogenic. I like to say he has never taken a bad picture. I don't know what it is about this dog, but he always takes a good picture. So he's there, and you can put, that's what we can do. Put your dog pictures on our Facebook page. We do this about twice a year, and we get wonderful response. It's great to see all of your dogs, too. So let's make it a dog day and post pictures of your dogs, particularly because we're talking about taking your dog to work. Did I tell you the Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show? And we're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. To you momentarily here on the Ideas Network. All right, let's go to phone calls for Dr. Barker, 800-486-8655. And let's go to Sheldon in Milwaukee. Wanakee. I'm sorry. Hi, Sheldon.
Years ago, I was involved in therapy dog work. And in that process, I met an individual that owned a company. And he was trying to get his insurance company to okay him to allow his employees to bring dogs into the workplace. And they weren't on board with it. So in our conversation, I suggested to him that he require that the dogs have the canine good citizenship certification. Mm. And he talked with his insurance agent on that, and the insurance company bought it. So I just thought I'd pass that on for, you know, some of those that may be interested in this. You know, there is an insurance liability. I mean, you can have a dog with a very good temperament and, you know, something weird happen and, you know, an accident happen. But anyway, I just thought I'd pass that on because that might be a way of some people accomplishing this.
Yeah. Thanks, Sheldon. Dr. Barker.
That's an excellent suggestion, Sheldon, and thank you so much for bringing that. Actually, we require that as the minimum first step in terms of our therapy dogs. The AKCA good canine good citizen test is an excellent way to be able to at least have some measure that dog has been evaluated by a certified evaluator and you know that they have been taught to sit reliably, they're walking with their owner and they're not yanking, you know, 6 feet in front of them as they're pulling them down the hall, that they walk beside them, that they will be around distractions and not react aggressively. The main thing is for particularly employers, and the AKC Canine Good Citizen Test helps to screen for this, is any aggressive tendency should be a rule out for any dog in a workplace.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sheldon, very much for your call. Let's go to Sarah in Milwaukee. Hello, Sarah.
Hi. Could you please tell me more about grief counseling? Because I lost my best friend, and it was a cat that I had for 20 years.
Oh, my.
And she dropped dead on election night, and I just can't see living without my cat. I know this sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't.
She was my best friend, and nobody seems to really understand. I was wondering.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry to hear that. It is so difficult to lose one of our feline family members, and essentially that's what happened. And so that overwhelming sense of grief is not surprising, considering that sudden death that occurred for you. There are some supports available online. There's if you Google pet loss support, I believe it's .net, but there are a number of resources there, including a list of area counselors who provide pet loss support. And if you don't have support in your life by family members and friends,
not really.
A lot of times people don't, because people just don't get it. They don't understand, and they say things that are insensitive, although they certainly are well-meaning by the person giving the message. So on your on the website, there are a number of resources there. And really, in your area, any mental health counselor that you would go to, any mental health counselor that provides grief counseling can assist you in terms of pet loss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not something that's as new as it was 20 years ago when I first started offering pet loss counseling. Now, most mental health counselors and other mental health professionals recognize the importance of the human-animal bond and how close people are to their pets. So particularly if you don't have any supports, I'd strongly encourage you to see a counselor in your area.
Yeah, I understand fully where you are, Sarah. I had a dog once. I was pretty much alone in my life when I just moved here, and she was my daughter. I mean, when she died, I was just bereft for weeks. I was crying and crying and crying. But I also, and I hope you don't mind my saying this to you, but anybody who really loves animals should have another animal when the time is right for you to do it, and you'll feel that kind of joy again. That's the darn thing about them. They don't live long enough, right?
She lived 20 years, so I guess I was pretty lucky.
Yeah, but you can get another one. You can get, I mean, because you love animals, and so an animal should be in your home at some point, don't you think?
I think eventually.
Right.
I'm not there yet, but
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah, very much for the call. It is a hard thing. It's the they don't live long enough.
They don't, and yeah. And I liked what you said, Kathleen. It's really important when Sarah is ready.
Right.
Because some people have gone out and immediately tried to replace.
I know, I've
pet
done that.
There's no way
I know.
To replace a pet, and it doesn't work out very well.
Right.
But when she's ready and is able to come to terms with her grief, and I do hope that Sarah will get some help, professional help, since she doesn't have anyone in her family
right.
or socially that's understanding.
Yeah. I'm glad she called and happened to be listening at this time. Sheila in La Crosse. Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I know I'm in the minority, but I'm just retired recently, so I'm older. And I've always been afraid of dogs especially, but most animals. So the idea of dogs in the workplace scare me. And, you know, those TV shows where they show the dogs coming into the hospital, I think my blood pressure, which I know my blood pressure would just go up. I just think that you should know that there are a lot of people, there are some people out here that don't like animals.
Yeah, I understand that, Sheila. Dr. Barker.
Yes, Sheila, you're exactly right. And we're in a very large academic medical center with over 70 therapy dogs. And we are very, very careful about anywhere we go. Before a dog would get on an elevator, the owner, handler always asks, does anyone object? And they will definitely wait. They will only go in a patient's room with permission. If our handlers are pretty good at recognizing people who are a little startled when they see a dog and they'll take a wild birth, but you are exactly right. When you're in a public setting, whether it's a workplace, a hospital, it's very important to be sensitive and respect that not everyone
right.
has a favorable opinion. Some people have cultural attitudes that make being around dogs uncomfortable. So I'm so glad you called because it's so important to be sensitive to everybody's needs.
Yeah. So if you, because the theme of the show is dogs in the workplace, if you have somebody in the workplace who feels as Sheila does about pets, then what are you to do?
Well, you need to be able to respect that individual and make sure that that person can come and go from work comfortably, that they're not going to be exposed to a dog. And so it might be the individual who's permitted to bring their dog to work may come in a back entrance and they are in a room, you know, an office, and they have a baby gate or something across the front of the office, and the person who's afraid of dogs is aware there is a dog that comes in this building. It's met certain screening criteria, such as canine good citizen or is a therapy dog or whatever,
right.
and that they will be coming in this back door and they will be going to this particular room. They won't be in common areas. I mean, you know, it's important, and that's why I say policies are so important. For this to be a win-win situation,
right.
at replacements, a number of people didn't own pets or weren't really pet lovers, and yet they still rated all of these norms for job satisfaction and promotion and rewards and benefits higher than the industry norm. So it can be done. It just takes careful planning before just bringing dogs in.
Thank you very much, Sheila, for your call. And let us go to Lori in Rice Lake. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Hi.
This is sort of following up on a couple of previous callers, but I'm a mental health therapist, a solo practitioner in a small private practice. My puppy right now is only 6 months old, and I would love to at some point be able to bring her into the office. But my question is, I don't plan on going through the therapy dog training, but if something would happen at work, would my homeowner's insurance cover it? Would my private practice insurance cover it? Would I need special insurance if for some reason somebody was injured or hurt by the dog?
That's an excellent question and one that you would need to check with. I mean, insurance policies and insurers are just vary so much that you would need to check with the insurer for your profession as well as your homeowner's insurance. Sometimes one will cover, sometimes one won't. Your chances, I would think, would be better if your dog were registered and had been through the training of a therapy animal, because the insurer then would see that as minimizing risk. But again, it just varies so much. You would just need to check with your individual insurer.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for that info.
Thanks, Lori. We're getting some lovely pictures on our Facebook page, Dr. Barker, and a few messages. We've got the Dude Abides, a beautiful picture of a golden retriever. Penny writes, gives a picture of Macy. Macy isn't able to come to work with me, but she greets me every night when I come home, and we share stories of our day. My dog Olive and I, Jennifer writes, are loving this show today, and thanks you so much, Dr. Barker. And then we have a picture of a cat, Maggie, and this is important, I think. Maggie keeps me company as I work from home. I had an especially rough period of anxiety last year, and having her sweet presence around was a comfort. I've read that a cat's purr is an antidote to anxiety, and that's interesting, isn't it?
It is, and who could argue that? I mean, having a purring cat on your lap, I mean, that is just so relaxing. Most of the studies that we've seen have been done with dogs in terms of reducing systolic blood pressure and heart rate, but we know that cats are also very, very beneficial for their owners as well.
Mm-hmm. And post your pictures so we can all see them of your dogs or cats on our Facebook page. We'd love to see them. Let's go to Johnny next in Indiana. Hi, Johnny.
How you doing today?
All right, Johnny. How are you?
I'm just a trucking along.
Yeah, good.
I'm an over-the-road truck driver.
Uh-huh.
I spend probably about 80% of my time cooped up in the cab of a truck.
Right.
I've got a dog that I normally bring with me all the time, and I just wanted to say my stress level is much, much lower when I've got my dog with me. He's a little dog. He's a little chihuahua. He's small enough. He can jump up in my lap when I'm driving.
Oh.
And if I'm going through the dreaded Chicago.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to go through Chicago.
I hate that city with a passion, but the worst traffic in Chicago has ever thrown at me is nowhere near as bad when I've got my little Mason with me.
Oh. Now, Chicago itself is a good city, though. You just don't like driving there, Johnny. It's a good city.
Well, it's a good city unless you got to drive an 80-foot-long truck through
there. Gotcha. Yeah, I gotcha. I know. But you've got your chihuahua. That's great. I mean, it's a nice picture I have in my mind of you and your truck and your chihuahua on your lap. That's good.
Yeah, but I've had dogs my entire adult life. Years ago, when I was working as an orderly at a nursing home, I got called one day on my day off, and they asked me if I could come in and help them find something that I had used the night before, a piece of equipment, that I kept trying to tell them where it was, and they couldn't understand. So they said, well, can you come and get it and bring it to us? And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And I had my dog in the car, and I parked right in front because I knew it was only going to be in there for a minute. I had my dog in the car, and I ran inside. And when I came through the door, the resident director, who also was a dog lover, said, oh, is that your baby out there? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, bring her in. And this is a 110-pound lab Newfoundland mix that was just the biggest, sweetest, most lovable baby in the world.
Aww.
So I said, okay. So I brought him inside, and while I went and looked for this piece of equipment, the resident director and one of the other nursing staff were out there in the lobby basically playing with my dog, keeping him occupied. And by the time I got back, they had already taken him down the hall, and he was visiting residents.
Oh.
And I ended up being there for almost an hour and a half.
So much for that quick trip, Johnny.
Yeah, I ended up being there for almost an hour and a half. And the next day when I came into work, the director asked me, said, since you work nights and it's usually very, you know, it's not busy, would you mind bringing your dog in to visit with the residents, like maybe 1 or 2 days a week? Would that be a problem? And I was like, absolutely not. You know, that was 20-some years ago, so then you didn't have the liabilities you have now and everything like that. But the residents, they absolutely looked forward. I mean, they had something to look forward to. Because a lot of the residents in that nursing home,
absolutely,
their families didn't come and visit them.
I know.
But there was 2 days a week, and it was usually, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Tuesday and Saturday, that they knew they had something really good to look forward to on Tuesday and Saturday, because Big Bear was coming to see them.
Oh, Johnny, I know how important that is. Dr. Barker, I'm sure you know all about that.
We sure do, and not only for the residents there, Johnny, but one of our previous studies showed that for those healthcare professionals working there, their stress hormone cortisol significantly reduces after just very briefly interacting with dogs such as yours. So it's not only benefiting those residents, but also the staff as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Johnny, very much for your call. Safe travels to you.
Thank you. You have a good day.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny. I love it. Johnny's a real dog lover, right?
You can tell that. That's wonderful.
You can hear it. That's great. And what a wonderful thing. I didn't even think about that, having a dog. If you're a truck driver, if you're doing long-distance traveling, to be able to travel with your dog, too, if the dog likes to be in the car, that's a good thing.
That's a great benefit. You have somebody to talk to, a companion, and he can talk about how awful that Chicago traffic is to
exactly.
His dog, too.
Exactly. Right, right. 800-486-8655 is our number. Christine in Franklin, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say, when I lost my first dog, I was devastated. And my sister came down and stayed with me, and we went to visit one of her friends. And her friend had a Bichon. And after we sat down, her Bichon came up to me, and it jumped up on the couch, and it laid next to me the whole time I was there. And I was petting it, and it was just, it made me feel really good. And when we were getting up to leave, her friend said to me that was very bizarre that the dog came up like that, because normally her dog is real shy and just away from people and barks. And she said it was just very unusual for the dog.
Hmm.
And after that, I went to the Humane Society, and I found another dog that I loved just as much.
Oh, did you?
Good
and then I had, after she, I had that dog when she, it was her time. I waited too long, but when it was her time, I took her to the vet, and I held her on my lap while they gave her the injection.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be there for her.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if I could, but I did, and now I have another dog from the Humane Society.
Oh, do you really?
Mm-hmm.
You're a dog lover, too, aren't you?
Oh, I just love dogs.
I do, too.
They make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just wonderful if an employee would let them, people bring their dogs. And I do agree with the having to go through one of those courses because you never know.
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea.
One other thing that I love to do with my dog, and I should do it more, but take my dog to the dog park.
Mm-hmm.
And they can run and play with each other, and it's wonderful.
It is.
And it makes you feel so good when you see your dog running around. And I'll call my dog, and he'll just beeline for me, and I just feel wonderful when the dog does that.
Plus, you can make friends too, right, Christine?
Yes.
I know,
mm-hmm.
It's good.
Everybody walks around in groups usually. The dogs are all playing with each other.
Right.
And it's fun. It's fun for
it
me
is.
As well.
Yeah, all right. Keep going, Christine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're getting some great pictures on our Facebook page, too. I mean, gorgeous pictures of animals. I'll tell you more about those in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655. Mary in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm kind of a different question for you. With all those bringing animals to work, how do you deal with people that have allergies to all of these animals that are in the workplace, you know, that are coworkers?
And that's similar to the caller who called in earlier who has the fears. It's very important to be very sensitive to people who have fears or allergies. And I have to admit, I'm one of them. I'm allergic to dogs.
Are you
cats.
Really?
Oh,
are
yeah.
You?
But I've had them all my life. So, but it's important that people have who have allergies, again, that there are policies in place to protect them, so that they aren't subjected to dogs. Some of them may be like me and simply know that I love dogs and I'm going to pet them and I'm heading to wash my hands exact right afterwards before I touch my face. And for other people may have more severe reactions and therefore need to have some type of a distance, such as I mentioned earlier, where the person with the dog comes in. I was recently at Purdue University Vet School, and one of their administrators in the vet school has allergies to dogs, and there's a sign at the edge of the hallway that says, no dogs past this point. And so there's a route that this person comes into the office. Now, you think this is administrator at a vet school, but still, you have to be sensitive to anyone who has any allergies or fears. And so they have worked out a plan, an area that she comes into work so she's not exposed to dogs.
I've reached a point where just being in the room, in a large room with an animal, sends me up. And it's not that I dislike animals. My family all has them, but it becomes very uncomfortable.
Right.
And I think about this in a work area where you're there 8 hours a day and you're subjected to it, and even on medication.
Yeah, well, you'd have to if it were a small work environment. I mean, you'd have to make, you probably couldn't have the dog in the workplace, right? Dr. Barker,
you probably could not.
Right.
Or I know there's one organization that before they hire anyone, they tell them, we have dogs in the workplace, and if you're not comfortable with it,
right,
this won't be a good fit for you. So some companies are going to that point and being very upfront that we haven't, you know, dogs in the workplace, and this is part of our culture. So, again, if you're not able to set up a system like the vet school, an area that clearly this person can come into the building, can come down their hallway, can go in, do all their work, and not be exposed to the dogs, if you're able to do that, it's wonderful. But if you're not, then you have to consider, obviously, people's illnesses and their
absolutely
fears.
Yeah. More phone calls in a moment. We're talking about taking your dog to work, the companies that have done this and how it's worked out for them. The dogs, some of them are AKC certified. There are places for coworkers have meetings with dogs, if you have a meeting room, dogs or meeting rooms that don't have dogs. But our guest has done a lot of studies about what it does for people in the workplace, that it really significantly lowers the stress level that employees face. Plus, it's a more friendly place. People interact with each other more because, well, they interact with the dog first, and then they're talking to human beings as well. So it's happening more and more, and we're talking about the good of that and the problems associated with that this hour. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. We're getting some, all of you dog lovers and cat lovers, we're getting some beautiful pictures on our Facebook page, so feel free to send your doggy's picture or cat's picture there, too, because we like to look at them. And that's the Kathleen Dunn Show, and this is the Ideas Network. All right, let's go to Catherine in Poinette. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I just wanted to say that we always used to bring a rat terrier to the nursing home to visit my parents when they were still here, and the dog loved it, and my parents loved it, and all the other residents loved it, too.
Mm-hmm.
They just had a great time with this little dog.
Yeah, they're so important in places where people are by themselves and not a whole lot of stimulation usually, and dogs can do wonders in nursing homes, can't they?
They really do. And we also bring our dogs to work.
Do you? Where do you work, Catherine? What kind of place?
It's a small business.
Uh-huh.
It's my husband's business, so he can bring them. And they like it. The one who comes the most often decides on her own whether she's coming or not by whether or not we can catch her to put her back in the yard. She comes a lot, and she likes it, and we like it, and some of the customers like it, and if they don't, they just ignore her because they're tied up. They can't run around. We don't let them run around.
Yeah.
It works out really well.
That's
good.
We
get to see the dogs more that way.
That's good. I have to tell you one of my funny dog stories. I worked my first job in radio. Actually, it was my second, but I was working at a place in North Carolina, and I could bring my dog. I brought her every day to work, and she would sleep on the sofa while I was doing what I was doing. And she was never ran away, so I let her out. And one day when I was letting her out, and I was about to leave to come north to look for another job, there was my dog mating with another of the employee's dogs on the steps, Undershaft. I'll never forget his name, Undershaft, a German Shepherd, and she was a hound dog and golden retriever. She was a mixture. She was a gorgeous animal. So she got pregnant, and I had two dogs at that point because I had a setter who just showed up at my house. So I had two dogs and a pregnant dog. I moved to Milwaukee. A couple days later, I move into this flat, and she has 13 puppies.
Oh, no.
I have 15 dogs, and I got evicted, as you can imagine, because I couldn't let them all go at that point. So I guess you can have too many dogs, right?
You can. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, but I wouldn't mind having 15. It would be... It would be good. Well, I'm glad they can go to work with you. That's great, Catherine. Have fun.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Diane is next in Milwaukee. Hi, Diane.
Hello. One of my favorite quotes is from somebody that was telling somebody that had a new dog, isn't it great to have somebody to greet you who loves only you and knows nothing about the world situation.
Yeah, how true. Right.
I think that right now with the world situation, that's particularly important.
Yeah, it is nice to have a dog who, because they're smart, aren't they, Dr. Barker? But their focus is on you and on comfort and on you're their person. You're their be all and end all, and they don't care what's going on. They don't have to deal with anything.
No, they don't. And they're there for us and are so loyal and greet us when you come home. Even if you've been gone 5 or 10 minutes sometimes and have to run back for something, it's like, oh, my goodness, you're back, and all excited.
Yeah, how true. There are a number of people. We're just getting some great photos here. Thanks, everybody, for posting pictures of your dogs. I love this. A lot of people work at home and are talking about how important it is, or their children are at school now, to have a companion in the house while you're working.
Yes, and one of the benefits of telecommuting is that people can have their, you know, dogs by their side, or their cats or fish or whatever their pet might be, and to be able to take breaks and be able to spend that, go outside with your pet, and can be a real benefit to people who work from home.
Right. Diane, thanks for your call. Let's go to Lisa in Milwaukee. Hi, Lisa. Oops, there, I forgot to pop this thing up. Hi, Lisa. Hi, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a dog walker. I've got actually two little dogs with me right now.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. I was just trying to say to anyone who is not able to bring their dog to work with them that they're still in good hands. I very much enjoy what I do.
Dr. Barker.
Yes, it's not only are you able to be around those wonderful dogs and you're getting your exercise and they're getting their exercise, and what a great thing that you're able to provide that for people who, maybe those people who are at work, their stress may not be as high, perhaps because they know their dogs are being well taken by
yes.
people like you who will walk them and give them exercise and the love that they need.
Mm-hmm. So how many dogs do you walk a day, Lisa?
Oh, it depends. Weekends are usually pretty busy, but the weekdays, anywhere from like 8 to 12 or so.
Oh, that's a lot.
Some families have more than one dog, so you'll get, a few at once, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like fun, huh?
It's pretty fun. It's great, and it's nice to get to know different personalities and things like that. So.
Right. And it must keep you in great shape.
Yeah. And I have a no pet lease, so I actually don't have any pets of my own at home. So it's nice to be able to get my animal loving fix in with other people's pets.
Right,
that's great, and to be able to make it into a job is wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you. Arlene is next. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
You were lamenting that pets do not live long enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a philosophy that pets here to teach children about loss and grief and recovery, and you get a new pet, and it's okay to love again, and you get happy again.
Mm. Yeah.
That's just my thought on it.
Dr. Barker, that's true, isn't it?
I think that's a lovely sentiment, and I remember one young child who was comforting his parents after their pet died, and they were saying, why don't they live longer? And the young boy said, well, I know why. It's so that we can love more of them.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful, although the pain of losing a pet can be so intense, but then with that recovery and when we're ready to get another pet, to be able to create a new place in our hearts for a new pet and provide that same love again is a wonderful opportunity.
Thanks,
that teaches us when we lose a human being in our life, then that since we've gone through it with a pet as a child, that we realize as an adult we can handle it.
Thanks for your call, Arlene. We go to Joanne next in Eau Claire. Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, is there some peer pressure if, you're in a workplace and you get asked, a coworker asks you if they could bring their pet and you'd rather not have them there, but you don't want to be the jerk?
I suppose that's possible, but I think it's really important if an employer is doing a survey to determine whether employees would like to have a policy like that in place, that they do it in an anonymous way so that no one, as you said, no one feels like they're going to be the one who prevented, other valued coworkers from bringing in their pets. So I think it would be important to do it in a way that protected everyone's privacy, but also, again, their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. And just quickly, but let's get to Terry in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Terry, hi.
Hi. I was just wanted to say that I like to have my dogs with me all the time, especially when I go shopping, and there are very few stores that will let the dogs go in. But one of the sporting goods stores that I go to, they let you bring your dog in.
Really?
Yeah, and
great.
They sell clothes, and they sell everything. It's a huge store, and all these people, will have their dogs with them, and they all get along great, and everybody's always stopping me to talk about the dogs and stuff, and it's just so nice because I don't have to leave them
right.
in the car when it's hot or
yeah,
cold.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's good.
We have a mall in our area that is dog friendly, and they have bowls out for the dogs and the areas, you know, bags for cleanup for the dogs, and a number
yeah.
of the major stores in that
That's
mall
wonderful.
Allow the dogs in there too, and also have
that's more of that. I need to say goodbye to you because we're darned out of time. I could talk to you about dogs forever. Dr. Barker, thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you. It was great. Dr. Sandra Barker, thanks for all of your Facebook posts of your wonderful dogs, everybody. Thanks to Scotty Myers and KP Whaley and to all the dogs out there.
The dogs
thanks
out.
For listening.
Who let the dogs-